Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility presents the Vermont Conversation with David Goodman, exploring ideas with innovators, changemakers, business leaders, politicians, and activists. This special feature from Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility is underwritten in part by the Alchemist Brewery of Waterbury and Stowe, proud B Corp, using the power of business to support a clean environment and economic opportunity for all. Vermont Student Assistance Corporation. VSAC helps students of all ages save, plan, and pay for college and career training with education and career planning services, need-based grants, scholarships, low-cost education loans, and Vermont's official 529 college savings plan. Green Mountain Power, delivering clean, cost-effective, and highly reliable power to customers and offering cutting-edge products and services to reduce costs and carbon. UVM Medical Center, Burlington, Vermont, the heart and science of medicine. Norwich Solar Technologies, providing complete clean energy services to Vermont's schools, towns, nonprofits, and businesses. Concept 2, designers and manufacturers of Concept 2 rowing oars, indoor rower, ski erg, and bike erg, and proud to support nonprofit groups such as the Green Mountain Club. Let's Grow Kids, a statewide campaign about the need for more high-quality, affordable childcare in Vermont to better support our children, families, communities, and economy. And nearly 700 VBSR business members who believe that sustainable business practices value people, planet, and profit. Learn more at www.vbsr.org. Welcome to the Vermont Conversation. I'm David Goodman. One out of four births in Vermont is now attended by midwives, and a new study shows that greater access to midwife care is linked to better outcomes for families. We're going to spend the hour talking about birthing and midwifery today in Vermont, and we're joined by four midwives, each of whom practices in different settings and will give us a different perspective on what the job of a midwife is today. Bonnie Stoyer is a certified nurse midwife, and she's president of the Vermont chapter of the American College of Nurse Midwives. She practices at UVM Medical Center. Rebecca Montgomery is a certified nurse midwife, also a certified menopause practitioner. She's an adjunct professor of nursing at UVM, and she practices at Vermont Gynecology in South Burlington. Elisa Vandervoort is a nurse midwife, a family nurse practitioner, and she works at both the Central Vermont Medical Center and Gifford Hospital, and also works and teaches at the University of Dodoma in Tanzania, Africa. And finally, April Vandermeer is a certified nurse midwife and who is in private practice at Full Spectrum Midwifery. She specializes in home births, and she formerly practiced at Copley and Gifford Hospitals. So, Bonnie Stoyer, let's start with you to get the big picture and just start by explaining what is a midwife.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having all of us. We're really thrilled to be here today. I think that all of us come to midwifery with a passion for caring for women. That probably is what brought us here, and we've all found slightly different ways to express that passion. It is the practice of midwives to care for women across the life spectrum, all the way from menarche to postmenopausal care. That certainly includes pregnancy and birthing care. People who are nurse midwives are also educated to take care of well newborns, so we get some background in that. And then we can expand our practice to include all other kinds of care. When I worked at Planned Parenthood for a period of time, I learned how to take care of men and their sexual health needs as well. So there are lots of ways to be a midwife. We are primarily practicing in hospitals in the state of Vermont. There is a percentage of women who do choose to deliver their babies at home. It's about 2%, I believe, of midwives in Vermont are attending home births. Not 2% of midwives, sorry. There are 2% of births that are happening in people's homes. And then the balance of that is in hospitals. Vermont doesn't have birth centers at this point in time. And we are there for care, as I mentioned, throughout pregnancy and labor and birth. We are really experts in providing care to low-risk women. We are experts in breastfeeding support. And then women midwives also take care of every reproductive health care need that you might think of, sexually transmitted infection screening, Some midwives practice in abortion care. And so we kind of cover a large gamut.
So that's news to me that I think of midwives as attending births. And mm-hmm. you're saying midwives are really women's health care throughout the life cycle.
That's correct. We're actually recognized as primary health practitioners when you look at our credentialing.
Hmm. How has the practice of midwifery in Vermont changed? I mentioned at the top, one out of four births in Vermont are attended by midwives. Has that gone up, down? What's the bigger picture?
It's definitely gone up. I think as if you look at the United States on the whole, about 10% of births are attended by midwives. And in Vermont, we are really lucky. We have a certain density of midwives in our state. I think that the more women have exposure to midwifery care during their health care, the more they tell their friends. So there's, of course, that word of mouth that really spreads the word that the kind of care that we provide is really uniquely satisfying to women.
Hmm. Let's turn to Rebecca Montgomery. She is a certified nurse midwife, as mentioned earlier, and is currently practicing at Vermont Gynecology. Rebecca, one of the things that I found interesting in a recent study is this idea that states that give more support for midwives have better birth outcomes. And some of the data is fairly dramatic in terms of what it's saying about overall health outcomes, just looking for... Well, and then just to put us in the context of the country, a big nationwide study showed two clusters where midwives are much more integrated into the health network. One big swath is the Pacific Northwest, and the other swath is the Northeast. Vermont, Maine, Alaska, and Oregon have the highest density of midwives per 1,000th birth, and the lowest midwifery integration was in the Midwest and Deep South. So, Rebecca, maybe what's your sense? Why is Vermont in this kind of the front edge of that pack of midwife positive states, let's mm-hmm. call it?
Well, I think your initial question about that you asked David about outcomes being better. Part of why outcomes are so strong with midwives is our fundamental belief in really engaging women in their care. And one of the things for me that really sort of helped me develop my passion in this was really learning that the perspective or the philosophy of midwifery is that pregnancy and birth are normal physiological processes, that they're not pathological processes. And because as midwives, we're really trained to believe that first and foremost, to recognize that complications do exist, we tend to have lower intervention births, and women are really satisfied with those outcomes. Part of what enables that sort of culture to develop is collaboration. Mm-hmm. And we've had a lot of collaboration in this state, I think, with obstetricians. So midwifery used to be sort of the, you know, culture of maternity care in the United States. It still is the culture of maternity care in many places in the world, including Europe. And I think that that unfortunately was lost through the sort of overarching power of obstetrics. And in our state, we've had a lot of collaborative support. So in order to have these great outcomes, we've had a lot of support, I think, from obstetricians in the state.
Has that been that kind of trust, those relationships, been kind of difficult to forge? I mean, because as you point out, those bridges kind of got broken for a period when midwives essentially got pushed out of the birthing rooms and doctors took over. But when did the pendulum begin to swing back, and what did it take? Bonnie Stoyer?
One thing that I think Vermont has, which other places might have lost, is the presence of continuous midwifery in hospital-based care. for a very long time. We actually are home to the second oldest continuously practicing midwifery practice in the country.
Where is that?
At UVM. At the medical center.
So there has been an uninterrupted run for that practice.
It has for 51 years now. We celebrated, we had a lovely celebration last year about that. And I think because midwifery has been present, standing alongside obstetrical care and informing in some ways the care that is provided by the physicians that we work with, it really has just continued to grow. Right now at UVM is just an example of sort of this really strong bond that Rebecca was talking about and collaborative practice. Because midwives are recognized as being the experts in healthy, normal care and really supporting the physiologic process of birth, the midwives at UVM are the main precepting faculty, if you want to call it that, for the intern level OBGYN and family practice doctors that are there. And that's been the case for the last few years. And so we take the interns under our wing and we're teaching them and showing them about midwifery philosophy, the way that midwives practice to really help keep birth normal. And also to really be alert for those problems, those complications that do arise. But it's really a different way of looking at pregnancy and birth.
I want to read from a study that it was a study of 17,000 births in which it showed that women were significantly less, women who had had midwife attended births were significantly less likely to have adverse maternal outcomes such as tearing and postpartum bleeding, less likely to experience preterm birth, and were also at lower risk of losing their babies. So given what we know, why wouldn't everybody choose to have a midwife attend their birth?
Well, we probably would agree. All of us sitting here, certainly. And I think that as women are more and more exposed to the benefits of midwifery care, I think that that may be why we're starting to see increasing numbers nationally also for midwives attending birth. It is... did you mention the lower cesarean section rate?
So I was going to get C-sections are a whole other topic,
true,
but just move to C-sections. And I have in front of me a kind of a scorecard for Vermont and midwifery. The national rate of midwife attended births are, let's see, we're ranked number 13 in terms of midwife integration. With about a quarter, one out of four births, and nationally it's about 10%, it says here. And in a variety of indicators, Vermont is higher. And but so Vermont's C-section rate, well, let's have you talk about it instead of this. What changes when a midwife attends a birth in terms of C-sections?
I think it's really this overarching philosophy that Rebecca was also talking about. It's really the development of relationship with the birthing people that we're caring for. That relationship starts with prenatal care, where we're really establishing communication. We're really getting to know that person and their family, what it is that they need. We're alert to possible complications that might arise through their pregnancy. It's presence, really. It's really being there, watching as labor unfolds, being expert in knowing when to intervene and when to not. I mean, there's a famous midwife who coined the phrase, midwifery is really the art of doing nothing well. And I think that's really wise.
That is probably something that could be applied to a lot of areas of life, I think. So, all right, the statistics I come across here for C-sections. Nationally, 31% of American births were via C-section. Mm-hmm. The World Health Organization recommends that no more than 10 to 15% of a country's total births happen through C-sections. And the C-section delivery rate for women using midwives is generally around 5%. In Vermont, our C-section rate looks like about 26%, so a little lower than the national, but not a whole lot lower. So, I mean, that's a dramatic spread from 30% to 5% or 25% to 5%.
That is a dramatic spread, and a spread that some other numbers that are a little different than that. I'm not sure about that 5%. I think the World Health Organization suggests that about a 10% cesarean section rate is appropriate. We certainly are, you know, three times that in the United States right now. I can speak from my own practice. You know, we're probably, if you look at, and it's difficult in some ways to talk about statistics because, and when you're talking specifically about cesarean sections, because it's not an entirely level playing field. There can be various risk factors that play into that. There's a new, somewhat newer way of thinking about cesarean births. If you think about, it's called the NTSV rate. Is that, am I getting the acronym right on that, right? So it's nulliparous, which is a first-time delivering person, vertex presentation. Mm-hmm.
Baby's head down.
Baby is head down, which is what vertex presentation is, and singleton pregnancy, so one baby. And what am I forgetting? Oh, my gosh. Sorry.
Term,
mm-hmm. Yes. A term pregnancy. And for full term pregnancy, mm-hmm. right? So 37 weeks or beyond. And so as an example in my practice, our rate for that is about 18%. So less than that 26% that you were talking about. Certainly much better than the Healthy People 2020 goal, which is, I think, around that 26% rate. Mm-hmm. So in Vermont, in general, we're doing a bit better than the national average, but under, you know, with the care of midwives, we can see improvement on that.
You're listening to the Vermont Conversation. We're spending the hour this week talking about midwives, the role of midwives in Vermont, noting that one out of four births in Vermont are now attended by midwives. And we're joined by four different midwives talking about different aspects of the practice. If you'd like to join this conversation, you can call us at 244-1777 or toll-free 877-291-8255. If you have stories of your own or people you know, birth experience, and just sharing what that is and getting the response of four of Vermont's best midwives, you have that opportunity here. Rebecca Montgomery, I want to ask you, both you and Bonnie Steuer have had the experience of working at Planned Parenthood. What do midwives do at Planned Parenthood?
So I had the opportunity to start working at Planned Parenthood when we had a small clinic right here on Main Street in Waterbury, and that was open for several years. I made that transition when I had two young daughters and felt really interested in practicing well-woman care and taking a break from pregnancy and birth care, and taught at the University of Vermont during that time. So there's a whole range of services that nurse midwives provide at Planned Parenthood, and some of those I provide now at Vermont Gynecology. So again, looking at the whole spectrum, so anything from, you know, a 13-year-old girl who's having incredibly painful, you know, periods, to all the way through a lot of care for women and their reproductive needs. So a lot of contraception. And then I particularly have an interest now in caring for women who go through the menopausal transition and have symptoms ranging from, you know, sexual concerns to fatigue to the infamous hot flashes everybody, you know, talks about, all the way to later in life. At Planned Parenthood, providers do see that spectrum. And then, of course, part of our advocacy and collaboration with women and helping them meet their reproductive needs is abortion care. And so that care is provided at some of the Planned Parenthoods by possibly nurse midwives and certainly nurse practitioners.
We know that over the years, the Planned Parenthood offices and clinics have been subject to protests, various ways that patients are confronted. How has that affected the patients who you see?
Well, so I no longer see patients at Planned Parenthood. It was a couple years ago that I left there, partly just to expand my practice and be able to see a little bit more of that broader spectrum, because we do tend to see younger women at Planned Parenthood. But I would say, interestingly, in this political climate, the support for Planned Parenthood in our region, and our region means the Northern New England affiliate, which includes New Hampshire and Maine, has been incredibly strong. So patient demand, or demand for services, is I think higher than it's been in a long time. So people are feeling empowered to support. A lot of people, and especially in our state, are feeling empowered to support Planned Parenthood. So there are two clinics in Chittenden County, Burlington and Williston, and then also in the Montpelier-Barrie area, as well as Hyde Park. One of my roles there was as a float practitioner. So I covered, you know, I would do clinics as far north as Newport and as far south as Keene, New Hampshire. So to answer your question, I think that there certainly, unfortunately, is anxiety around protests, but the climate around what's happening at Planned Parenthood is unique in Vermont. So just like midwifery care is a sort of mainstream practice here in Vermont, I think that Planned Parenthood functions with a lot of more support and sort of peace in this state than others.
Bonnie Stewart, you also practiced at Planned Parenthood. What you know, we're hearing now in other states the closure of, if not all, Planned Parenthood clinics, almost all. So, you know, people, women will have hundreds of miles to travel. What's that going to mean from your experience in providing women's health care and the care that you provided at Planned Parenthood? What will be happening in large areas of our country?
It's incredibly troubling. I think it's very important to remember that Planned Parenthood, or clinics like Planned Parenthood, are mostly providing care to people who might not be able to access healthcare services elsewhere. And it's really about promotion of things like getting pap smear testing to, you know, for cervical cancer screening. It's about breast exams and appropriate referral for mammography. It's sometimes it's primary health care services because people can't access care elsewhere. It really is, you know, abortion care is a very small percentage of what Planned Parenthood provides. And when people don't have access to services at their local clinic, then that's really impacting their overall health.
Yeah. Let's expand the conversation here and bring in April Vandermeer. April is a certified nurse midwife. She is in private practice at the Full Spectrum Midwifery, and specializes in home births. She formerly practiced at the Copley Hospital and Gifford Hospital birth centers. April, talk about home births in Vermont and Vandermeer. Sorry. Okay. talk about home births in Vermont. Who has home births and what are they?
So there's a wide range of people that choose to have home births, and there is a perception of people who choose to have home births who are kind of hippies and, you know, want to just avoid medical care altogether. But that is a bit of a misconception. A lot of people who have home births are highly, highly educated. We have professors. We recently had a surgeon. And people choose it because they've done their research, and they know that statistically, births attended by midwives in or out of hospital are incredibly safe for low-risk, healthy women.
I am intrigued by the idea that a surgeon would choose this. Now, a surgeon knows better than anybody kind of that slippery slope that doctors find themselves on where things end up in surgery, which is what C-sections are.
Sure. Yeah. So in our practice, you know, I think what Bonnie was saying was the key to really having confidence in the birth process is crucial. And then also having great collaboration with other birth providers in the community. So home birth midwives and hospital midwives and obstetricians and even maternal fetal medicine can be looped in the care of the women. And that's what really is that safety net for a woman. She's a participant in her care and an active participant, but we have this team that are all on her side. And that is what gives exceptional service to women in the community. As you can tell from my name, my family's from the Netherlands. And when I went to have my babies, it was a reasonable question to ask, are you going to have your baby at home or in the hospital? Because, you know, that's the Dutch model, that if you're a low-risk, healthy woman, that it is completely the norm to choose a home birth. And for me, I never thought anything else. And, you know, the model of that is to provide it like they do in the Netherlands, which is to have those good wraparound services, to be highly trained and skilled, to bring the equipment with you so you can set up like a mini birth center in someone's home. You have oxygen, you have resuscitation equipment, you have everything you need, and most of it gets packed in and packed back out and you don't need it, but you have it there. And that is what keeps home birth safe in Vermont and in the world.
Okay, you're listening to the Vermont Conversation. We're spending the hour talking with four different midwives who've specialized in different aspects of midwifery care and hearing about what midwives do in Vermont in 2019, in this era. We're going to take a short break for the news, and when we come back, we're going to talk further about home births, also about the experience of being a midwife in Africa. So I'm David Goodman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. The Vermont Conversation with David Goodman is brought to you by Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility and by Vermont Student Assistance Corporation, Green Mountain Power, Concept 2, Norwich Solar Technologies, The Alchemist Brewery, Let's Grow Kids, the UVM Medical Center, and nearly 700 business members of Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility who believe that sustainable business practices value people, planet, and profit. Welcome back to the Vermont Conversation. I'm David Goodman. We're spending the hour this week learning about midwifery in Vermont. One out of four births in Vermont is now attended by midwives. And a recent study shows that a greater access to midwife care is linked to better outcome for families. So our guests today include Bonnie Stoyer. She's a nurse midwife and president of the Vermont chapter of American College of Nurse Midwives. Rebecca Montgomery, a certified nurse midwife, who is an adjunct professor of nursing at UVM, practices at Vermont Gynecology in South Burlington. Elisa Vandervoort, who's a nurse midwife and family nurse practitioner, who, in addition to working at both the Central Vermont Medical Center and Gifford, also works in Tanzania, teaching and helping with midwifery there. And April Vanderveer, who is a certified nurse midwife who specializes in home births. We have a caller on the line. Jerry has been waiting patiently from Montpelier. Jerry, welcome to the Vermont Conversation. Well, I don't know if Jerry's still there. Well, let's pick up where we left off with April Vanderveer, who was talking about home births. So, April, what are, in Vermont, in the rural context, there can be long transport times to hospitals mm-hmm. in the event that's needed. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that in a home birth?
So we always have the big picture in mind. And, you know, if it's a snowstorm or people live far away, we like to refer to it as taking the birthday party somewhere else, that if things are taking a bit longer or, you know, there's things we want to keep an extra eye on the baby, then we might just head over to the hospital and work with someone like Bonnie at UVM, and we'll include her as part of the team. So we stay with the mom until the baby's born and continually support them. We also will continue seeing them at home afterwards. And that's part of the great service about home birth, is being able to have those home visits several times after you have a baby, so you can just stay at home during the rest of that snowstorm after you have a baby and tuck in and learn about breastfeeding, and we come to you and make sure you're eating well and breastfeeding's going well and baby's gaining. But throughout the whole process, pregnancy, during prenatal visits, in labor and postpartum, we're always on the lookout, kind of like Bonnie described. We're very good at sitting on our hands and doing nothing when it's appropriate, but also always on the lookout for something that might need follow-up. It might just be extra testing or an extra ultrasound, or in labor, just an extra listen to the baby. And if that's the case, then we go to the hospital, and we keep that in mind of the distance traveled in Vermont. It's just the nature of Vermont, and it's true even when someone has a fast labor and they're trying to get to one of our local hospitals. When I worked in a rural hospital, sometimes people had a baby in their car in the winter. And so being at home can help avoid some of those kind of travel times that people experience.
I'm curious, you went from working in a hospital-based midwifery practices at Copley and Gifford. What made you decide to move into home births?
So again, just because of the model that I I'm familiar with through the Dutch model, is really they were equal options. And so where I choose to work is equally appropriate to be in a hospital or at home. And my life reached a point where I really wanted to go into business for myself and find a business partner. I was so lucky to join a midwife who's been in practice for 25 years and has an established practice at Full Spectrum Midwifery in Burlington. And so I was able to join her practice as a business partner. And just the idea of working for myself was really a large factor of having an independent practice, which midwives do in Vermont, private practice, and yeah, to work for myself instead of a hospital.
Okay, well, it looks like we have Jerry back on the line. Jerry, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
I'm so sorry that we lost connection, but it's Vermont.
Yes, we never lose connection.
No, not at all. I would like to ask you one question. I don't know if you how much my conversation you heard before. I really wanted to thank all the midwives. We have two sons that are 24, 27, and we had them in hospital, but, you know, that was our choice. My question is to you is a hard one. If your daughters, one or two, wanted to have an abortion, how would you feel about that, and what would the feedback given to them be?
Well, let's turn your question over to Bonnie Stoyer, who's one of the midwives here who worked in Planned Parenthood of New England. Bonnie, how would you respond to that?
Ooh, I have a lot of feedback, but I would respond by saying that my work as a midwife is to be with women. That is what midwife means. And I think that the choice to either continue or not continue a pregnancy is a profoundly personal decision. And I would respect and support a woman in whatever decision she was choosing to make. And that would be true for my daughter and anyone's daughter.
Okay. Let's get a little bit of the international perspective. Elisa Vandervoort is a certified nurse midwife here in Vermont and a family nurse practitioner. But Elisa also has spent the part of the last few years working in Tanzania, both catching babies and teaching midwives. Elisa, tell us a little bit about what birth is like in Tanzania and what led you to want to work there.
So I was a Peace Corps volunteer, actually, in Tanzania with a program called the Global Health Service Partnership. It's actually a new Peace Corps program that was a collaboration between Peace Corps and an NGO that was actually started by Vanessa Carey, who's John Kerry's daughter. And they basically pitched an idea back to Peace Corps to put doctors and nurses back in the field, because once upon a time when Peace Corps began, there were healthcare professionals at the end of the road who were personalizing the globe as Americans in the field, like many other Peace Corps volunteers. So at the time, I was a family nurse practitioner, I had worked for many years here in Vermont, providing primary care and family practice, and decided to move to central Tanzania to be a healthcare provider, but more than anything, to be a teacher at a university and to do capacity building work. So it was very little about direct service and really more about teaching and training and standing shoulder to shoulder with healthcare workers in Tanzania, supporting them to train the next generation of healthcare workers.
So when you first went to Africa, you were not a midwife.
No.
What made you decide to go back to school to become a midwife?
So, being on the front lines of healthcare in Tanzania, it's so hard to describe. I was working in a classroom setting with literally hundreds of students. You would look across a classroom at a sea of faces. My largest class had 270 students in it. My smallest had 33. In our setting, my nursing colleagues had so many different things on their plates that oftentimes it was very difficult for them to be at the bedside with students. And the way that we all teach nursing, midwifery, and physician students as midwives here in Vermont, teaching and training the next generation, in Tanzania, the demands are such that so often students are just on their own floating in our facilities. The Ministry of Health nurses and midwives and physicians do their best, but there's such large numbers of patients that oftentimes they can't even take the time to teach students, so students are on their own. So that experience of being on the front line with Ministry of Health nurses and physicians and my students made me realize that I really needed to go back to school to get additional training in very basic but crucial life-saving skills that I could then apply to my work here in Vermont and also at the end of the road in Tanzania and elsewhere.
So what does childbirth look like in Tanzania? What's a typical setting? Is it primarily done in clinics and hospitals or in homes?
Yeah, so it's interesting. In Tanzania, it depends on the region where you are living. There's been a strong push at the national level for women to birth their babies in a facility. And over the years, depending on the region where you are, you may go to a small little dispensary, which is basically a small little clinic where you would have generally a nurse midwife or a nurse midwife, almost primary care provider, who is a nurse but trained in this breadth at the basic level, who would attend your birth at the dispensary level, so at the end of the road in a village setting. If you were in a larger setting, you might be at a community health center where there are a couple midwives on, many women laboring in a room, more resources available. Hopefully they have the basic medications for emergencies and for resuscitation of baby. They may not. They may or may not have the ability for cesarean birth or cesarean section. And then you go to the next level up and it's a large hospital, busy, frenetic. Women in Tanzania in general, although in some places this is changing, are alone when they are laboring. It is very rare for a woman in the settings where I was working for that person to be accompanied by loved ones, by a family member, by a sister, an auntie, a partner, a husband. And so that's something that is quite jarring, I think, for those of us who have grown up in our setting, where by and large, people birthing their babies or laboring or seeking health care in a facility have somebody from their family or community who are welcomed in. Whereas in Tanzania, it's very rare. They are alone.
Are you also, I imagine that there are traditional sort of birth health care providers. How does a modern trained nurse midwife such as you and the students who you teach there interact with the traditional healthcare providers?
That's a great question. It depends on the community. There's been quite a backlash internationally against traditional birth attendance, and that pendulum, my hope, is swinging as we continue to work on both the supply side, if you will, at the community level, ensuring that we reach women at the community level to ensure that they are getting their health needs met in terms of preventive care, care during pregnancy and birth, nutrition, birth preparedness, complication readiness. A lot of that stems from the community and these traditional birth attendants or aunties who have provided that. And trying to develop some of these strong referral and collaboration systems that April touched on that are part of what keep people safe. So knowing when to refer, knowing how and how to get to the next level of care. Ensuring that transportation is arranged in advance and the community has pooled money and prepared for that. We often talk about sort of the three delays, if you will, in global maternity care. And, the first delay is recognizing that it's time to get to the facility. And that's generally thought to be sort of education and preparation at the community level. That second delay, getting to the facility. And then once you get to that facility level, ensuring that person gets the appropriate care. And so there's been this big push for facility delivery and so-called skilled birth attendants, but the challenge is ensuring that our young physicians and nurses and midwives who are practicing in those settings truly have the knowledge and the skills and equipment to provide that life-saving care. And that's a challenge in a lot of places still.
Now you practice at Central Vermont Medical Center in Gifford. How does your work in Africa inform your work in Vermont?
Oh, that's such a good question. I don't know. I think that when I first returned, one of the things that was so hard was just the abundance of resources, the material resources that we have as healthcare providers in our facilities when we're caring for people in our community. That was one thing. The other thing, and people may laugh at this, is the abundance of time. When I come in to work, if I have a busy day in the clinic, it's probably at the most 20 people that I'm going to see. Whereas at the facility level in Tanzania, literally you don't know who is going to show up. And, you might have 100 plus women that are there for an antenatal care visit. And, so just that difference. So I sort of feel like, wow, I have all the time in the world with people.
This is the definition of first world problems.
I know. And then lastly is just feeling really grateful for the tremendous resources that we have in Vermont for referral, for collaboration. If I need assistance, I can pick up the phone and literally within a few minutes have a specialty provider on the phone with me from UVM, from Dartmouth, who is going to help me care for this person. And generally with the perspective that they're taking care of their neighbor. It's very special and personal here. And I'm grateful for that.
Let me turn back to Rebecca Montgomery or Bonnie Steuer. What are some of the challenges now as you are doing this, whole woman healthcare through the life cycle with LGBTQ patients, gender nonconforming patients? How has that changed and challenged you, what you do as a midwife? Bonnie?
Well, thank you for that question. I was actually wanting to make sure that we talked about this. I feel that we are in a wonderful time where people are able to be true to themselves. And while they may have a fluidity to their gender, if people are choosing to create family, they're able to do that. And I know that we are very supportive of that. Do you have something to add?
I would just say that one of the things that drew me to my practice that I practice at in South Burlington at Vermont Gynecology is how inclusive we are. We've made a lot of steps, like many practices and health providers through the state, to really acknowledge the inclusivity. So everything from welcoming people into our clinics and having, questions on our forms that do not require people to, identify with a particular gender, asking what pronouns people want to use. We have a specialist in my practice who really helps people with, who are deciding to transition with surgery, with hormone therapy. So it's actually a big part of the care at Planned Parenthood as well, I will say, that supporting people whose gender is more fluid and who want to transition. That is one of the services that is now provided.
April Vanderveer has, let me put that question to you in the context of people who are choosing home births, LGBTQ families. How has that changed your work, and how do you address that?
Yeah, so we care for so many different kinds of families, just like everyone, you know, all the midwives in this room. And sometimes people look to us to because they feel more private about their lives and want, a smaller number of people into that circle. And the fact that there's just two of us helps people to open up and share what they might otherwise not share with a larger practice, or if they have to talk to like a nursing aide and then a provider and a receptionist. Really, they see us and they email us and text us, and we are, you know, in communication with them a lot and get to know them as a person and as a family. And so that just promotes trust and a little bit more intimacy as far as communication with their family. I do provide GYN care in my office, and it is, I do sit down and spend an hour with people. I have the ability, the benefit of being able to spend extra time because I am a small private practice. And so it helps them meet their unique needs in all different ways, and that's inclusive. So we see people who have chosen to get pregnant through intrauterine insemination, and they maybe don't have a partner, or they have a female partner. And so we are able to care for those folks, as all midwives are in Vermont.
Rebecca, what made you decide to be a midwife?
When I was a student at UVM 30 years ago, I had the privilege of taking a class called The Sociology of Reproduction with a beloved professor of mine. And I was not a nursing major. I was not a pre-med major. I was a sociology and women's studies major. And a light went off when I learned that historically women used gravity to enable birth to happen, and that things drastically changed in industrialized countries, especially in the U.S., and women, laid on their backs and, were put to sleep and had terrible outcomes with forceps births, etc. And something really, really ignited a passion for me. And that was what I recall as being when I realized that this would be what I wanted to pursue. And I explored different midwifery paths, including the certified professional midwifery route, and obstetrics and gynecology. And ultimately, when we go back to sort of the incredible scope that we have as nurse midwives, is really amazing. And I feel so fortunate that I've been able to do so many different things with my career, including teaching, working in gynecology setting, also doing full scope midwifery care and attending many births, and now being able to see so many women, in the older part of their lifespan. So I think it's so important. It's I feel incredibly grateful to be in a career that I haven't once sort of lost passion, and that allows us so many opportunities.
For people who are listening and wondering if midwifery is the right path for them or a loved one. Rebecca, what would you say?
I would say, get experience. That one of the wonderful things about our profession is that we love sharing it. So just talk to community members or family members who might know a midwife and see if you can spend the morning with them in a clinic. That's what I did when I was, 22 years old at Gifford Medical Center with the incredible midwives there.
And Bonnie, in terms of having a healthcare provider attend their birth, for people who are wondering, should they have a doctor? Should they have a midwife? What would you say?
Well, I would strongly encourage people to consider midwifery care. People are very satisfied with the care we provide. I think people sometimes think, if I see a midwife, I can't have pain medication, or people have certain outmoded ideas about midwifery care, and really, we're highly trained, fully operating professionals in hospital settings, home birth settings. We prescribe medication. We really can meet people's healthcare needs completely. And while we do that, we're really giving them the kind of personalized attention that is going to lead to better outcomes. I think one of the things I wanted to mention was that when people look at maternal morbidity and mortality, which is really in a crisis situation in the United States, the problem is often that our medical care, our obstetrical care, is much too over-medicalized, and midwives are able to bring a healthy perspective that can really improve outcomes. I also wanted to mention before we stop that we have a website, VermontMidwives.org, and you can learn all you might like to know about midwives in Vermont.
All right. That's a great place to stop. I want to thank all of you, Bonnie Stoyer, a midwife at UVM, Rebecca Montgomery, a midwife at Vermont Gynecology, Elisa Vandervoort, a midwife at Central Vermont Medical Center, Gifford and in Tanzania, and April Vanderveer, who is at Full Spectrum Midwifery. I want to thank all of you for enlightening us about midwifery in Vermont.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And that does it for this week's Vermont Conversation. You can hear this and all shows at VermontConversation.com. Tune in next Wednesday at 1 for another Vermont Conversation. I'm David Goodman. Thanks for listening.
The Vermont Conversation with David Goodman. This special feature from Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility is underwritten in part by Vermont Student Assistance Corporation. VSAC helps students of all ages save, plan, and pay for college and career training with education and career planning services, need-based grants, scholarships, low-cost education loans, and Vermont's official 529 college savings plan. Norwich Solar Technologies, providing complete clean energy services to Vermont schools, towns, nonprofits, and businesses. Green Mountain Power, delivering clean, cost-effective, and highly reliable power to customers and offering cutting-edge products and services to reduce costs and carbon. The Alchemist Brewery of Waterbury and Stowe, proud B Corp, using the power of business to support a clean environment and economic opportunity for all. UVM Medical Center, Burlington, Vermont, the heart and science of medicine. Let's Grow Kids, a statewide campaign about the need for more high-quality, affordable childcare in Vermont to better support our children, families, communities, and economy. Concept 2, designers and manufacturers of Concept 2 rowing oars, indoor rower, ski erg, and bike erg, and proud to support nonprofit groups such as the Green Mountain Club. And nearly 700 business members of Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility who believe that sustainable business practices value people, planet, and profit.